At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
But here's what happens, you know, when you get to this point, you're looking for the world for rest and comfort. You drug some people with you, or you're just looking for escape. Look what happens. After a while, so in this case, after just a couple years, almost three, or just over three. Well, David said to Achish, "If now I have found favor in your sight," whose favor is he looking for? God's? No, he's looking for the approval of men. You spend too much time living with the enemy, you'll begin to seek their approval instead of God's. What do you think? You know, my clothes, how does it look to you? Are they fashionable now? Doesn't matter if they're modest. The question is, are they fashionable? What do you think? The kind of car I drive, whatever it is. He's looking for favor from an idol-worshipping, pagan, ungodly. That's where he wants favor from. If I found favor in your sight, give me a place, a city in the country somewhere. You know, I tried to escape and I got here, and this just isn't fulfilling. I even need to get away from this. The capital city just reminds me I'm with Philistines. Can I get a place in the country that I might live there? For why should your servant... Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Whose servant is he? He's claiming himself to be Achish's servant. Yeah. I'll come back to that. Why should your servant live in the royal city? Ready? I'm not even worth being in your city. I fled the people of God, and I recognize that I don't even belong here in the good places in the world, what we would call the good places. And that's one of the things that also happens when you get out there in the world. You look for it for rest. You look for it for answers when you're discouraged, all that kind of thing. You've drug other people along with you. You're seeking favor from the world. You now have the wrong allegiances. You are unequally yoked. Because out there, everybody has to connect. And you go out to the Philistine territory, you got to make some, you got to have some relations, you got to network. He now has an alliance, an allegiance. Why? Because that's the guy who gave me my city. You give me it, there's an obligation, said or unsaid, written down or not, I owe you. And then David begins to compromise. David literally lies to look like a Philistine. When he gets to Ziklag, he goes out and raids other Philistine cities, but tells King Achish, I'm attacking Israelites. You're going to lie to look like you're loyal to the pagan king? People, David's not some wild prodigal son. David's experienced God. He's written a lot of Psalms to this point. Do you know where he's in Philistia? He does not write one psalm. Not one. He does when he's in a cave. He does when he's fled from King Achish before, when he's feigning lunacy. He's written them when he finds out what happens in Nob. He's written, but while he's in Philistine, he writes not one. Not one praise is written out of his mouth while he's living in Philistine. So let's take a little practical application if you haven't made that leap in your mind already. When you find yourself focusing on the problem, the situation, it just won't go away. You need to choose. Did you hear that word? Volition. You have to make the effort to rehearse, recall, remember, speak what God has done and what promises he's given. Because you're no different than Dave. You're not more spiritual than David. If you don't remind yourself how God's delivered and done and what he's did and how he's done, when you look at the situation and you're tired and you're wore out and you're beat and you've had enough, over there is going to look really attractive. You know what I mean? Look how peaceful they are over there. Because you only see the problem, and that's what you want to get away from. But you begin to rehearse what God has done, what God has promised, and you'll find here ain't so bad. Second thing, you seek God's counsel. David didn't do it. So here you are. You start out giving praise to God. I will enter his courts with thanksgiving. I'm giving praise to God about what he's done. I've recognized who he is. I've talked to God. Now say, okay, God, yeah, here you are. I recognize now he's the amazing keeper of me. He is my shelter, my strength, my shield, my rock. Whatever you want. God, what do you want? What's your advice on this one, God? Now, some of you might say, how do I do that? Well, first of all, you got a Bible. I suggest you go there first. But this is a financial problem. Go to the Bible. It's a marriage problem. Go to the Bible. It's a physical problem. David writes a psalm about being in sickness, by the way. Hey, go to the Bible. And maybe you're not quite getting it, then find godly counsel. See, David sought out the one guy that survived Nob, the one priest. So, hey, you, come here. Bring that ephod with you. He did that before. You don't see him doing that here. If you don't do that, you will run to the world to try to get some form of comfort, safety, or relief. You know, I wonder how many people in the church at large today have become addicted to pain medications. The reason I talk about this is because you all know my struggle. And that's just something I refuse to do. It doesn't make me more spiritual than you. What that makes me, if I've watched people. So they just want relief. But I notice this, their addiction is always first emotional. Here's why. My wife can tell you, when the screws in my back are yelling at me and I've got this kind of thing, I'm not the most pleasant person. I don't enjoy playing a game with my kids. I'm just so uncomfortable. But if you could pop a pill, at least my attitude's better. I'm going to be honest, most pills that I find don't actually take away the pain. They just make your mind different. Okay? I wonder how many people, even in the church, have become medicated. But you know that medication could look like a cabin in the woods, a boat on the lake, or a bigger screen TV. I just got to escape. So I turn on the TV, and it doesn't matter if it's Philistine stuff on the TV. I don't care. That's where I'm going for my relief. I just want to escape, and whatever's on there, I'm watching. Don't tell me you've never done it. Don't look self-righteous. You have done it. You sit there and watch the show. You know that is inappropriate. You shouldn't be watching that. You know it's not right, but dadgum, I'm tired. And I just want to get... When I watch TV, I usually watch it to escape. I don't want reality TV. I live that. You know, Judy and I can watch documentaries all day long and all kinds of things. Okay, we can get lost in that. You can get lost in your favorite sci-fi show. And there may be nothing wrong with landing on the moon and colonizing Jupiter or whatever your show is. Nothing wrong with that. The question is it your place of safety? The question is that your place of escape? Or is the place of your escape on your knees? The place of escape is that time in the Word when you, instead of watching the game, you're telling everybody to be quiet. So you, now I like the game, please don't take it that way. But to every quiet, my show's on. Man, quiet guys, leave me alone. I'm in the Word because I'm looking for answers. I'm looking for a peace. I'm looking for a rest that lasts, that's real. I've gone to meddling, I know that. You need to recognize this. You have probably exaggerated the problem. everybody, all the time. You never say those, right? You ever get in an argument with your spouse? You always?
I don't always.
Come on, don't tell me you've never done that. We do tend to make it big. But if we practice the first thing, what was the first thing I said? Giving praise and worship to God. You've heard me say it over. What you talk about, you magnify. So, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Who said that? David. Well, how does he know? Why does he call you to magnify? Because he's been there when he's magnified the problem and saw the outcome of that. Everybody's after me. All I'm going to do is die if this comes after me. There ain't a trustworthy person in the world. He recognized what happens when you talk like that. When you magnify that, he knows what happens. Recognize this. Any kind of rest and peace and safety the world offers you is false and temporary. You guys don't. You work with the people. They live for the weekend. They just barely, oh, thank God it's Friday so I can get out and escape and get on my snowmobile and go. And they buy stuff they're in debt to here for looking for all the toys to find rest. Yeah, you get rest while you're on that thing, but as soon as you get off, you got to pay for it. As soon as you get off, you go back to work, and you're just looking forward to do it again. See, that ain't the case with God. I can go to work and give him praise. It's Monday, I'm tired, or Wednesday, hump day. You know, barely, this Wednesday, man, long week. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. See what happens when you try that. Try start when you're feeling that energy level drop and another week's a-coming, and boy, I wish they had church. We do. It's called Wednesday night. Anyway, but I'm tired on Wednesday. So am I. But I'll tell you what, when we're done sitting here, and we're sitting here sitting talking about the Word, we're not near as tired as we were when we walked in. Practice worship. Practice worship. Practice worship. I could probably shave with my eyes closed because I do it every day. I can brush my teeth without thinking about it because I do more than every day, once a day. I can tie my shoes without thinking about it. Do it every day. Practice worship when it's good. And then you'll default to that when you feel that overwhelming, I give up, I quit. You can't sing the praises of God in a foreign land. Because light and darkness can't exist in the same place. That's why David didn't write one psalm while he was there. There was no real joy for him to write one of those, oh, praise the Lord, he's great, he's amazing. All those psalms, you know, we love to read. I read this morning. Yeah, sing with me, shout to the Lord, glory. Yeah. But not over here. Once you jump into that, you don't see a lot of people at the bar praising God. Give me another one, buddy. By the way, praise God, hallelujah, let me tell you how great he is. That don't happen. It doesn't happen. And I would, you know, when I buy the toys, you got to use them. You spent that money, right? So Friday comes, we pack everything, we're gone, and we haven't been to church 4 times at all during the summer. And I'll bet you 10 to 1 you ain't singing praises either while you're on that bike, while you're on that snowmobile, while you're out there skiing. I'll bet you 10 to 1 you're not. Oh, well, we're out enjoying God's beautiful nature. We're seeing God there. Then don't buy the stuff and go for a hike. Anyway, when you do that, remember when you recognize when you're compromising, recognizing when you're saying to King and saying, hey, King, you know, I sure could use this. And when you're looking to the world and you're beginning to compromise, because you need to recognize when you're doing that, because you'll be surprised when you do it. Well, you won't be surprised, but you'll learn to recognize it when you're doing that. And I'll read in with reading a couple things. First, what you heard me read to the kids out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 17b. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers and their world and their system and their ideas of what beauty is, their idea of what fun is, their idea of what rest is, their idea. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? You can't go there and stand for righteousness. even though you're attacking Philistines, you're going to tell them you're attacking your own people. Yeah, the Christians over there. I used to go to church. I know what they're like. You know how many books have been written that way? You know how many philosophers and theologians there are that are that way. Karl Marx, by the way, studied religion before. Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Baal, the same God they're worshiping those Philistine places? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? When he says the temple of God there, what are we talking about, Wednesday night crowd? Remember when we talked about what the temple of God is? As God said, as who said? God, okay. I will make my dwelling among them. Walk, now listen to me. It doesn't say I'll make my dwelling among you, singular. Them, plural. And walk among them, plural. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst, the world, and be separate, says the Lord. And you think, as the church, we get it. But if you go to Revelation chapter 18, and it's talking about the tribulation, the beast, and all that stuff, and all the things that are happening. And I heard a voice from heaven say this, come out from her. Who's that? Yeah, the harlot. Come out from her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins, and therefore receive her plagues. Revelation tells us in the last days, his people are going to be so intermingled with that world system, God's going to call them out of it, otherwise you get the plagues with everybody else. Now those plagues might not be boils, or that plague might be debt to here, because that's the way the world does it. That young people, that might be that unplanned pregnancy. It might be that abortion clinic. It might be that divorce. It might be that addiction. Before you think, even in the last days, God's going to call his people. That's not an Old Testament idea. Both of those last two scriptures right out of the New Testament. They're telling you, you can't compromise and mix the two. Oh, but I'm under grace. I don't care. Those things don't mix. You can shake up the salad dressing, but after a while, the oil separates from the... Right? Oil and water don't mix. It will separate. You can mix it for a while. Tastes real great. But let it separate and give a swig of that oil and see how that goes. I don't care what you think. You can't do both. You can't. Good and evil can't reside. Light and dark can't be in the same place. I know you think you can be a witness for Christ with your little... I'm thinking of somebody, not somebody in our congregation, a singer, singing a Christian song before a crowd. Attractive lady, with her skirt so short, if she raised her hands, we'd see everything. And she's singing a Christian song. I know you think the Christian song's a great testimony. I'll tell you, the short skirt will override that in a hurry. Do you know what I'm saying? And this lady's actually got her hands up and weeping. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of men out there, they ain't hear a word you're saying. It does not mix. It can't mix. It doesn't work. Take Elvis. Oh, what's her name? Was in Bodyguard. Whitney Houston. Both of those people learned to sing in church. And then they went in the secular world and thought they can mix the two. Ask the Jordanaires. That was his backup singers. Elvis would leave a concert and go backstage and want to sing hymns for 2 hours. It's true. Because he's done the world thing and he thought he's going to be able to balance that out with some time over here. I know. And you go to church on Sunday and that's going to take care of everything. See, Saul does the same thing, right? He tries to get rid of all the witchcraft, the soothsayers, He knows he's wrong, but maybe my good will balance my bad. And we all know about the Witch of Endor, and that's not the planet in Star Wars. We think there's these scales somehow. If we do enough good, that overrides it. God says, no, you don't understand. They don't even end up on the same scales. You can't compromise. You can't blend world and church. You can't abandon God's people and think you'll have rest. You don't understand what they did to me. So, you know, I could get what I was going to get in the church, in the body of Christ. I can get that out there. No, you can't. Yeah, you can worship at home. Yes, you can. I agree. But the Bible talks all over the place about gathering together to worship Him. Why? The same reason the world does. What do you think Woodstock was all about? A whole crowd of people gathering together to promote, to push up their worldview, to be encouraged in what we're doing. Okay? They gather together in huge crowds because they love it. There is a something about groupthink. Yeah, but you ought to get together with the people of God. When the person next to me did offend me, the person behind me might have made me mad. But together, we're going to groupthink. We're going to think and praise and give glory to God. You can study the Bible alone. I'll put you away in a monastery and let you study the Bible alone. For 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you'll be a heretic by the time you're done. I've seen it over and over and over. Maybe you'll go into a cave and a prophet will speak to you, or maybe you'll get some gold tablets. You got to have the body of Christ, the people of God, to balance that out. See, David didn't see Saul as a tool being used to make him into the king God promised him to be. He didn't realize, not at this point anyway, that God was taking the disaster to give glory to the master. He didn't realize that he was working that, and I'll give an example, and I'll end with this. When I did track in high school, there was an old guy that was steeplechase champion back like in 1918, 1922, something like steeplechase. It's sort of cross country. You jump over things and puddles and all this kind of stuff. And so he was a volunteer on the track team. And so he was going to make me a better runner in the off season. So in the gymnasium, he'd take a broomstick. And he wasn't a very big fellow. He was shorter than me. And he'd hold that about a sternum. And let's say the wall over there at 10 feet away or 5 feet away or 8 feet, stand there. And I'd have a set of blocks for indoors, and I would take off, and I had to be leaning forward enough to make it under the broomstick, which is fine at 8 feet, not at 18. He'd move out a little further, and if I wasn't leaning forward, bap, right in the head with the broomstick. Nowadays, they'd arrest you for this. Hit you in the neck, hit you in the chest, but he wouldn't move that stick. But I trusted the old guy enough to know this. He's trying to make me better. This isn't to punish me. The bruises aren't there for some. So my senior year, we actually took a video and a picture of starts. So a track meet, there's a start. And I don't remember exactly how many meters. Let's say 12 meters out. Everybody else is straight up, and I'm still leaning. And I got 2 steps on them all. So you got to realize that God's broomstick is to make you better. And you may have done, I must have ran into that broomstick 100 times. Come on! Move it when I'm coming, will you? This is getting tiring. I'm starting to get a bruise on my forehead. Keep going, kid. But coach, there's other kids, they're not out doing this right now. The other track, they're over there, they're playing, they're going to the movie, whatever. I don't want to, I want to go join them. No, stay here. But I recognized that time spent allowing to be hit in the head to run into a broomstick was for my benefit. David, Saul was for your benefit, believe it or not. Because when you get back out of Philistine and you come back and you start writing Psalms, woo, baby. You ought to read, I think it's like, what is it, the 30s through the 50s in the Psalms. The 80s, and look at what's there. As David got out of that, come back into the people of God in the Psalms he writes now. God is preparing him for a particular task, to be a particular type of king, different king than his son, different kind of king than Saul. And it had to be built in 8 years, four running and four in Philistine, but 8 years to take this kid from 22 to 30 years old. He's 30 years old when he becomes king. Let's stand. Lord, if there's anybody out there today that's feeling that, they're just discouraged. They're asking you this, God, how long? I don't know if I can make this. God, I pray that you will send your encouraging spirit to them to lift them up. Father, that you would bring to the mind the great things that you have done, the promises you had. They would rehearse them. They would tell people about them and recognize that the world does not have the answer. It's only temporary. And eventually you compromise. Father, I ask you, Lord, speak now to your people. Help them to recognize what you do within the body. And no matter how much someone of the people of God might have hurt, we cannot run and hide in the world. Father, I thank you for the body that I get to be a part of, for the people sitting in front of me today. That, Father, that they're there for me and I'm there for them and I can trust them, God, because you have placed me here and I trust that. I thank you, Lord, for the bruises and the broomstick that you make me, God, through these adversities. You make me greater and better in that I am what can achieve what you've called me to do. And all of it, is for the glory of your name. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.